the storytelling. And they're already telling stories over there, I can tell. What I start my program with every day is the type of story that we're going to kind of focus on, and that's in the very broadest terms, for each day. And you're going to help me with this first one. Now, this is one I tell kids a lot, but also adults, I've realized, get involved with it. It's very interesting. I was telling this once at a, We were having a some kind of program at church, and we anticipated a lot of kids. And we didn't get any kids. We had all adults. And I was going to change the story totally, and then I thought, I'll try. And those adults did it. And I've also done it on the trolley at the Ohio Historical Society, where we, a teller from our storytelling guild, every Saturday there's a teller at the Ohio Village in our trolley telling stories. And you never know who's going to be there. I mean, you get the weeby, little teeny weenies, and you get the adults, and you get the grandmas and grandpas, and you get all kinds of groups. And sometimes just one person, sometimes two, sometimes ten. And you just tell when, well, we're supposed to tell at a certain time, but most of us just tell whenever there's a group that comes along. And so this is one of the ones that I sometimes use with them. But it's very, very simple. And your part is to say, that's good or that's bad. Now, this is a story of Cinderella. And when we have a little pause or something, you've got to decide if what I just said is good or bad. Once upon a time, there was a young man and a young woman, and they got married, and they were very, very happy, and that's good. But after a while, they waited and waited, and no child came. And they got very, very sad, and that's bad. Oh, yes. Well, after a little bit longer, come on in. We're just telling a story that you can help with. It's about somebody named Cinderella. And you have to say, that's good or that's bad, and I thought. Well, after a while, they had this child, and she was a lovely child. And they were very, very happy about that. And that's good. But a little bit later, when she was maybe, oh, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, or 9 years old, I'm just not sure when, the mother got sick. And she died.
That's bad.
Well, after a while, though, the father went away. And when he came back, he said, I'm going to get married again. And you will have a new mother. And you'll have two sisters. And that's good. Well, not long after that, he did bring home this mother, a stepmother, that they called her. And they brought home the two sisters that were going to live with them. Well, whenever the father was there, the mother and the two sisters were pretty nice to our young woman. And that's
good.
But whenever the father was away, oh, did they ever change? Why, the mother and the two sisters would say, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that, clean the floor, no, you can't have a room of your own. In fact, they made her sleep right by the fireplace in the kitchen, right by the ashes. And even though her name was Ella, they started calling her Cinderella. And that's
bad.
Or maybe it wasn't too bad, because Cinderella didn't seem to mind. She didn't complain, she didn't yell, she didn't holler. She just did whatever they told her to do and seemed to be relatively happy. And that's now she grew older and older and more beautiful, and that's
good.
Unless you happen to be her two sisters. Her two stepsisters who never did grow beautiful, who were kind of ugly and nasty as a matter of fact, and that's
good.
Oh, yes. But then one day, when they were, well, I don't know, about a marriageable age, there came a message all around the village, all around the country, and this message said, Harry, the king is going to have a ball, and at this ball, his son, the prince,
We'll look at all the women in the country, and we'll choose the most beautiful to be his wife. And they thought, that's good.
Well, by they, I definitely meant the two sisters, because they figured if those prince, that prince looked at them, and all of their beautiful clothes, which of course Cinderella would be helping to make and clean and wash and iron and everything, that the prince would be unable to resist at least one of them. And that's good. Unless you happen to be Cinderella. Because you see, when they got ready to plan and to do all this to get ready for the ball, and Cinderella said, oh, I wonder what I should wear. I don't have anything I can wear. And the sister said, you? Why would you be going to a ball? And Cinderella at that time did start feeling kind of bad. And that's bad. Well, the sisters and the grandmother, or the mother, went off in the only carriage they had. And Cinderella sat by the fire, crying a little bit. And that's bad. But then, as she's sitting there, along came a bright light. And who do you think that was? The fairy godmother. And the fairy godmother said, Cinderella, why are you crying? I can take care of everything. I will make a carriage for you. And they gathered together a pumpkin and some mice and some dogs and all kinds of critters. And this fairy godmother just took out her magic wand and went abracadabra, hocus pocus, dominocus, and the most beautiful carriage you've ever seen in your whole life was standing right by the door. And that's good. Yeah. And she says, well, get in, Cinderella, get in. And Cinderella looked at her ragged, dirty clothes and said, but fairy godmother, I don't think I can go to the ball wearing this. That's bad. Oh, dear, dear me. I'm getting older and older, and I forgot about your dress. Okay, I'm a cadabra, hocus pocus, dominocus. And she had the most beautiful dress you've ever seen. And she almost forgot the shoes. But then she remembered she can't go barefoot either. And so she made two glass slippers for Cinderella. Oh, Cinderella was very happy, and she got in the coach, and she went off to the ball at the palace. And when she got in there, the prince, who had been dancing with everybody and looking at everybody and getting a little bored with it all, he took one look at Cinderella. And that was the end of his looking. Because she was the most beautiful, the sweetest looking person in the whole room. And that's good. Yeah. They danced and they danced and they danced. Oh my goodness, then Cinderella remembered something. The last thing that her fairy godmother said was that she could only stay till 12 o'clock, till midnight. And if she didn't leave right then and get home, everything was going to disappear. And she would just look like an old rag sitting there with a pumpkin next to her. And that's bad. But she was having so much fun, she kind of forgot about that. And all of a sudden she heard bong, bong, bong. Oh my goodness, she said, I've got to get out of here. And she started running down the palace steps. And as she ran, one of her slippers, one of her glass shoes, fell off of her foot. Oh no, I can't stop for that. Oh, that's too bad. But the prince went running down there. And he didn't see this wonderful woman that he wanted to marry. He just saw a little ragged girl running down the street with a pumpkin sitting right at the foot of his beautiful palace steps. But he saw the glass slipper that got lost. And he says, I will find her. And that's good. Well, he went all over the village and all over the country, and he never found her. And he finally got to the very last house that there was to go to. And he went to that house, knocked on the door, asked to see all the girls who were in the house. Well, Cinderella had been locked up in the kitchen, and only the two sisters came out. But the two sisters, they tried to get their foot in that slipper, but they were way too big. And the princess felt very bad because He'd had nobody else to try the slipper on, and that's... But just then, Cinderella was pounding on the kitchen door, and finally she got it open and came out and tried on that slipper, and it fit her beautifully. And out of her apron pocket, she took the other one and put it on, and the prince was so happy, and he says, "Would you marry me?" And she said, "Yes, because that's good." And of course, they lived happily ever after. Now, we know there's a million different stories, or it seems like it, at least hundreds of different stories about Cinderella, with a lot of different endings and a lot of different characters. And I want to do one that I haven't done for a while, so I got my cheat sheet here a little bit. But this one is called Mafaro's Beautiful Daughter. And this particular story, I bet you know it, came from Zimbabwe. And it came in the Shona language. And it's a story that is in the Cinderella grouping. So I want you to listen to it and think about how it's the same as the Cinderella we just did or others you know, and how is it different? Now it seems that in this Mafaro's Beautiful Daughter, there of course was a man named Mafaro. Now Mafaro was a man who was the father and the head of the village, and his name meant happy man, and he was happy because he had two very beautiful daughters. He had a daughter named Manyara, which actually means ashamed or bitter. And Manyara was a very beautiful girl, but not inside, just on the outside. But we'll get to that. Then his other daughter was Nyasha, and Nyasha was very beautiful also, but she was beautiful both inside and outside. Nyasha's name meant mercy. Now, I have to confess that Mafaro couldn't decide if one of his daughters was prettier than the other, because when he looked at them, they were always so sweet and nice to each other. And they both were very beautiful, as I said, at least on the outside. So he was just happy because he had two beautiful daughters. Now, the other person in this story was a little snake called Nyoko. Nyoko, well, we'll get to him, too. Now, as I said, Manyara was not always very nice. She was always complaining, always griping, and she was always telling everybody that when she got older, she was going to marry the king, and she was going to be the queen, and all of them, well, they were going to be their servants. And Nyasha said, "Well, that's all right. We don't mind being your servants. I'm sure you'll treat us nicely. But why are you always so unhappy? You're clever, you're beautiful. You really should be happy." "I will be when I'm queen," she said. Now, Nyasha loved to plant her garden and weed her garden and water her garden and talk to the little snake, Nyoko, who lived in her garden, and sing. She was always singing in her garden. Her father said probably the reason that her garden was so beautiful and her sister's wasn't quite as beautiful was because she was always singing to the plants. And perhaps it was also because the snake in her garden was always eating any insects or other things that might destroy her garden. Now, I'm afraid that Manyara very seldom paid any attention to her garden. So the truth was, her garden was very, very poor. Well, after a while, they did grow up, and they were still both very beautiful, at least on the outside. Now, Manyara, she was only mean and awful to everybody when her father wasn't there. So he still thought he had two beautiful daughters on all sides. But one day, they heard in their village a messenger who came and said, hear ye, the king, who lived in a city about almost a day's journey from their village. The king is looking to find a wife, a beautiful wife, but also a good wife, a wife who is worthy to help rule this country. So what they were supposed to do is go down from their village about a day's walk
and go into the town where the prince, or yeah, the king, he's already the king, where the king lived. And he was going to examine them and determine who was who. Now, Manyara went to her father and said, "Oh, father, you know how much my sister loves you and how much she loves her garden and Nyako the snake. She will be just so sad. She might even die of sadness if she goes down, and if the king were to choose her, why don't we just leave her at home? She'll be much happier, and I'll go down there, and perhaps the king will choose me, and you and my sister will be happy here." "Oh no," said the father, no, it's up to the king to determine which is the most beautiful and worthy daughter in our kingdom. And so they made plans. As I said, it was about a day's walk down to the town, and they made plans to leave bright and early in the morning, like right at sunrise, so they could get there before the day was over. Well, Manyara, she had a different idea. That day they were gonna leave, she got up before sunrise, and she left all by herself because she wanted to be the first one down there. Maybe the king would choose her before her sister even got there. Well, as she's walking down there, it was a little bit scary. There were a lot of sounds. She'd never walked down there by herself before, but the path was clear. And as she's walking down there, she met a little boy. And this little boy, oh, he was so hungry. And he says, please, miss, do you have anything that you could give me to eat? I am so hungry, I might even die from my hunger.
Oh, don't bother me, she said. I have only enough lunch brought for myself. You just get out of my way. After all, I'm going down to the town, and I'm going to become the queen of you. So just get out of my way. And she kept on walking. Well, a little bit later, there was an old, gnarled woman by the side of the road, and she says, "I have some advice for you. When you go down this path, there will be a grove of trees, and these trees will laugh at you and grab at you. And there will also be an old man that will scare you because he will have his head under his arm. But don't worry about it. Just be polite and nice, and you'll be okay."
"Ah! Get out of my way, old lady. I don't need your advice. I'm going down to become the queen of the country. Just get out of my way." And on she went. Well, soon after that, the rest of the village woke up, and they were going to accompany these girls down to the town. But they couldn't find the first sister, Manyara. And so they finally decided, well, she must have gone on ahead for some reason. So they all went on down to go to the town. Well, just as the first sister did, the next one came across a little boy who was hungry. And she said, "Oh, all I have is one yam for my lunch, but here, you need it more than I do." And she gave this little boy her yam that she was going to eat for lunch. She says, "I can be all right." Well, then a little while later, she saw an old lady sitting by the road. And the old lady said, "You're going to come to a grove of trees. And when you get there, those trees will show you the way by pointing, show you the way to the king's palace. And there might be some strange-looking man, but don't worry, he won't hurt you." And so they went on down. They got to the place where they could see the king's palace, and it was just beautiful. Oh, they were just looking at it and admiring it. And then they heard a scream. Why, it was her sister. And she's coming running out of the king's palace, and she's crying, and she says, "Don't go there, don't go there. There's a five-headed cobra sitting on the king's throne, and I don't know what's happening, but don't go in there." Well, her sister said, "Oh, don't worry. It's probably nothing." And she walked into the king's chambers, and there was her little snake, Nyoko. "Oh, what are you doing here?" she said. "Why aren't you in my garden?" He said, "Because I am the king. And there he was, the king sitting on the throne. And he says, I was the little boy. I was the snake Nyako. I was the old woman. And I know that you are the most beautiful and the most worthy to be my wife and the ruler with me of my kingdom. And Mufaro knew that he had two of the most beautiful girls in the whole kingdom. And they were both very important. One was the wife of the king, and she was the queen. The other one, she was a servant to all of them and lived in the palace with them. So that's another story that's in the Cinderella motif, but how is it the same? How is it different? Some people say that's not a Cinderella story, right? But it's not. Well, what's the goal of all Cinderellas? Or sort of the goal? We'll get to that too. Yes?
That there's something that's the same, a king and a queen get married.
Going to get married. Now I say sort of, because there is a story that is very interesting, and it's about a girl, and she meets the prince. It's a long story, so it's by Ralph Martin, if you ever want to go read it. And it's one where she meets the prince, and she's been a runaway because she doesn't like living where she was living. She was another princess. And they were going to marry her off to some guy, and she didn't want to be married off to him. So she runs away, goes to sea, becomes a sailor, and ends up in the palace and starts telling stories to this prince because he loves stories and she loves stories. And in the end, they discover that actually they were supposed to marry each other, but they don't want to be told who they're going to marry by their parents. And so they decide they're both going to go off their separate ways, and they'll meet again in a year and see if they want to get married or not. So some of our princesses or our Cinderellas have a very independent mind. But what about this one, the Mufaro one? We've got her marrying the king, right? So that's a Cinderella-y idea. What's she look like?
She's beautiful.
She's beautiful. Cinderella's always beautiful. Now, I've got a lot of Cinderella stories, but I don't recall any ugly Cinderellas. Maybe there's one. I don't know of them.
Really?
Yes, sir?
Cinderella looks kind of like she has white skin. Uh-huh. That's what it says, as white as snow.
Well, that's another story, but usually the books do show white. However, there is an Indian story, a Native American story.
Little Bird Face.
And she gets beat up by her relatives and has to poke around in all of the ashes and stuff, and gets her face is all full of scars and burned from the ashes, from the fires, and she makes a beautiful dress. She doesn't have a fairy godmother. She makes her beautiful dress out of bark and that. And that's another story. It doesn't have a prince, but it has a sort of a magic young man who's the leader. And he's waiting for the girl who can say the words that he wants to hear. So that is a Cinderella story too, but a little bit different one. And that one just doesn't happen to have all that beautiful skin until after she's chosen, then she gets beautiful. So I guess that is one that isn't beautiful in a way to start out with. We don't have any balls, any parties in the second one I told you, but we do have an adventure and we do have a good person. We do have a person who has proven that she's good, just as Cinderella. You usually don't hear that she's too bad, you know? So those are two different Cinderella stories. Can you think of any other, we'll get to that in a second. Can you think of any other Cinderella stories? Besides, what's the name of it?
I learned it, Little Bird's Face.
You're right, you are right. I know you're right. Little Bird Face by Ralph Martin. And we've got Mufaro's beautiful daughter.
Oops. My shoe's on.
Well, do they have to be books, or can they be a situation in life that rings of this?
It could be, yeah. Do you think it's something that was in your life or somebody else's life?
Somebody was like a mother to me. I think in the 20s and 30s, this wasn't so unusual that parents, when they couldn't afford to raise all the kids in the family, they would parcel, they'd be parceled out, maybe earlier. And this wonderful woman, who I would think of as a Cinderella in this story, got the mean aunt.
Ooh.
And it was an impossible life, but it all had a happy ending. And in the ending, she not only got the prince, but the woman, then this awful woman, came back as an old person and had nobody left, and she took her in.
Yeah,
so that reminds me of that.
What happens at the end? Sometimes the family, the mean family, comes to live in the palace with the prince, princess. Sometimes they're killed off. Sometimes they just sort of disappear. We never hear from them again. Sometimes the father's still alive, sometimes not. There's a one called The Way Meat Loves Salt. And in The Way Meat Loves Salt, this is also a Cinderella story.
Kind of a King Lear story.
What?
It's kind of a King Lear story.
It is definitely a King Lear story. Because in this one, there's never a mother in this story. I don't know where she was, but she doesn't appear ever in the story. But there's a father, King Lear, with three daughters. And these three daughters are growing up, and he's thinking, how am I going to decide how to divide up my kingdom or my money? And so he thinks and thinks, and so he decides to ask him a question. How much do you love me, or how do you love me? Well, the one sister, who really likes a lot of expensive things, says, oh, Father, I love you more than I love gold. Well, dude, that's a lot, because she loved gold a lot. And the other one says, I love you more than I love silver. She also loved a lot of jewelry and things. And he thought, oh, these are pretty good. Now, his favorite daughter was the youngest one, because she was always helping him and always nice and always sweet, always kind of Cinderella-y. And he asked her, and she thinks for a while, and then she says, I love you more than meat loves salt. More than meat loves salt? What a stupid answer. And he gets really angry, and he kicks her out of the house, and she goes away. Now, to make a long story short, she goes away with three different dresses, and in the thimble, no doubt, no less. And she goes off, and eventually she finds another palace to stay at, and she stays there. And of course, there's a prince in that one, and they have three balls, three parties, and she wears a different one of these three dresses, which she's hidden in a hollow tree outside of the castle. Because she went into the castle as a servant, as a maid. She worked in the kitchen and slept by the fireplace. Sound familiar? And as she's doing all this, she doesn't get to go to the parties, but she has been invited to go and sneak a peek. All the other people working in the kitchen are doing that. And of course, she can't do that because she's planning to go to the ball wearing these pretty dresses after she gets everybody else leaves. So in the end, she does go to all the balls. The prince just fall in love with her, and she's got this little ring on. And this little ring, he sees her wearing, but she disappears, so he can't really ask her to marry him or anything. Well, when she disappears and never comes back, and he can't find her, he gets very depressed, very sick. He might even die. But what happens instead is while she's cooking, the cook was going to make some broth that he used to like as a child. And so she says, oh, I'll do it for you. Well, the cook was kind of lazy, so she thought that's fine. And while she does that, she slips off this ring, puts it in the soup into the broth, and then the cook takes it up there saying, I made you the soup. Well, he finds this ring that belonged, you know, maybe he gave her the ring, now that I think about it. I can't remember, I didn't look it up before, but one way or another, there's a ring. And so in the end, he sees this ring in the soup, and he says, "Who made this soup?" And the cook, thinking she was in trouble, said, "Well, it was our maid that's in the kitchen." He says, "Bring her up to me." Well, then he finds out that this is the same girl, and they end up getting married, living happily ever after. But before that, they plan this big dinner, and they invite everybody to their wedding that's important. And the person who he's going to marry goes into the kitchen where she used to work, and now she's going to be the princess, she doesn't work there. And she says, "Don't put any salt in the food." And so they think this is rather weird, in the meat, I should say. But they do it because she's going to be the princess. Well, her father comes with his two other daughters, and by this time, father's pretty old, can't see too well. And when they go to eat, the father takes a bite of this meat with no salt, and it tastes terrible. And suddenly he remembers the answer from his daughter. "I love you more than meat loves salt. Salt is everything in the food. Salt is everything in the taste of meat." And so he realizes that she's really said, "You're everything to me." And he says, "Oh, I'll never be able to tell her. I'll never be able to see her again." Of course, she's standing right behind him about this time, waiting to see what he's going to do. And she tells him that, you know, she's the daughter. And and everybody was happily ever after. He comes to live with her, in fact. So that's another type of Cinderella story. I sort of shortened it and stuff to do it, but that's another Cinderella story. And let's see. Do we have any more? Where did I put my notes? Got the afternoon meeting on some. Oh, some Yet Shin. She's a Chinese one. And there's a whole bunch of Asian stories where often the birds, the animals, help the Cinderella character. Or the Egyptian one.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happens with the Egyptian one?
Little red face. She's
Rhodopus, Rhodopus.
Right.
Yeah,
she has
like
her little slippers, and but she's sunburned, and
How's her slipper get to the prince?
Oh gosh, I don't remember. How does it?
Well, in this particular one, I'm thinking of Rhodopus. The bird comes along. She's down by the river working, and the people are always making fun of her because she's dark. From her skin color is dark. And so she has her slippers off, her shoes off, and the bird comes along and picks up the shoe and drops it in the lap of the prince. And then in the end, they get together and she has the other shoe and all that. So, you know, there's a lot of differences, but there's also a lot of similarities with all these from all over the world. So if you ever get into the
They claim hers is the oldest, but I guess China has to claim on that too.
I know. They always said Egypt was,
right? Right.
They're having arguments about that.
Whatever her name is.
Yeah.
And she's a slave, and that was captured in another country.
Yeah. Oh, Rhodopus is a slave too, actually. Yeah. So it's really intriguing. They're all over the country. You know, the only place I've never found one, and I'm still looking, is Japan. I've never found a Japanese Cinderella. So I don't know if there never was one, or if I just can't find it or what. And I've asked Japanese students. We have a Honda plant right near us, and I've had hundreds and hundreds of Japanese students, and none of them know any Cinderella. So I don't know why that would be. But that's just a few of the ones that you might think of. What are some other fairy tales that we tell? We've got Cinderella. So these are the Cinderellas, fairy or folk tales. By the way, what's the difference between a fairy tale and a folk tale?
Folk tales really people, and fairy tales are fairies.
Well, sometimes, but fairies are magic. And fairy tales have magic parts to them. Folk tales, you're right, they're often traditional tales, tales that have been around a long time. Or not quite as long time. Now they call Mafaro's Beautiful Daughter a folk tale in the place where I originally encountered it. But I don't know. I think with a magic king that turns himself into a snake, there's a bit of magic in there.
And I could call that a fairy tale too, but it's an old tale. And so maybe it depends on the age, I don't know. But folk and fairy tales. So we've got the Cinderella kinds, and there's a lot of variants in all these. This is just a tad of them. And there's just a little bit different on all these different ones. There's a really neat one from Vietnam, which is very close to the one from China, but not exactly the same. But they both have the animals, the birds and that, that help, because the stepmother says that she can go to the party as soon as she picks all the rice, the weed seeds out of the rice, and then she throws all the weed and the rice together out on the floor or the outside the door in the patio or something. And she knows she can't possibly do that before the party's all over. But she's been friends to all the birds. And so the birds come and they pick out all the weed seeds, and then all she has to do is sweep up the rice, and then of course along comes the magic. And she gets to the party after all. Or there's the one about the fish bones. Who has the fish bones? Oh, I can't think of the name of it. But anyhow, the girl, her mother dies, and she somehow her mother gives her these magic bones first. And then the stepmother finds them and takes them away and all this. But there's magic in those fish bones. So there's a lot of magic in there. Okay, how about, let's see. Who knows the Three Little Pigs? Now, do you know more than one version? Yeah. We all know the Three Little Pigs, right? Right. How about some other Three Little Piggy songs type stories? You know some?
Mm. Oh, yeah, I know too.
What?
It's the real version where the wolf wants to make a big hamburger. They call it the real version.
Yeah. The real version. The wolf is a nice guy, right?
Yeah, but all he wants is a little bit of salt.
Yeah, he's making a cake, I think, for his mother, for her birthday. And he doesn't have all the ingredients, so he knocks on the piggy's house, and he's just asking him for a little bit something to make this cake for his brother, right?
Yeah, and it breaks, and he thinks he can use a pig.
Well, what happens? What's wrong when he knocks on the door?
He sneezes and accidentally cooks the little sucker.
That's right. So,
and he says, well, as long as it's lying around, I mean, really, what are you going to do, leave a cooked pig lying?
That's right. The whole house fell on that pig, and he died.
He says, if you came across a hamburger, what would you do?
Yeah. And all the way through this, something, he's just trying to help out, make a cake for his mom, and all the time, they just misunderstand, and he's telling the story from jail, and he hopes that everybody will understand, and he'll get out of jail soon, right? Yeah, so there's those three little pigs. How about the three little javelinas? Anybody know that one?
Yeah, that's a cute one.
Where's it take place?
New Mexico, or I think.
Yeah. And these three little javelinas, wild pigs, which really are not related to pigs at all, but that's okay. And these three, there's two guys, two brothers, and a sister. And the first brother, how does he make his house? Out of what? Remember?
No, it was another story, I just remembered.
Okay, we'll get to that in just a second. He makes it out of tumbleweeds. He sees these tumbleweeds going across the desert. So he makes it out of tumbleweeds, not too sturdy, but is there a wolf in that story? The three little javelinas and the coyote. There's no wolves in the desert. Coyote. So the coyote comes along, and eventually he knocks down the house made out of tumbleweeds, and the pig, of course, runs away and gets to his second brother's house, and he made his out of cactus ribs. You know those things, if you ever tried to do music, and you shake it one way and the other way, and they make this really neat rain sound. They call it a rain stick. You ever have one of those? Oh, they're neat. Yeah, well, that's also a cactus rib. So he finds this lady. He finds them, I guess, and makes this cactus rib house. But of course, the coyote, who's still really, really hungry, he comes along and he blows the house down, and they run to their sister's house. Now their sister, the third little javelina, has made the effort to get some adobe bricks. And so she makes an adobe brick house. And when she makes this adobe brick house, it's very, very sturdy. So she and her brothers are in there. And of course the coyote comes. They don't let him in. And what does he find him at sea? Up on the top of the house there's a chimney, which is attached to the wood-burning stove or whatever they're burning out there. And so he had the ability back in those days to make himself real skinny and thin, so he goes down the pipe. But they already had put a fire in that fireplace or in that stove. And so he goes, woo, out the chimney. And he's going, oh, 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 into this very day. The coyotes make that same sound, remembering what it was like when they went in there the first time. Mm-hmm. So they're all three, they're all kind of piggy, and there's a whole bunch more. What was the one you were thinking of?
So the pigs all work together and they make this really big metal house, and when they play outside, the wolf always comes and they run back inside.
Yeah, that's true. There is one that's like that. There's also one where the pigs plant beautiful flowers, which smell so good, and they're so happy, and they're always dancing around, and when the wolf comes, he starts smelling them. Oh, and they make him so happy, and they're all dancing together. So there's a lot of those. Let's see, what is another one? Three Billy the Goats Gruff. Now, I don't know any other versions of this. Maybe there are some.
There's one with three armadillos trying to do an underpass.
Ooh, I haven't heard
really
that.
Cute.
Three armadillos. I don't know how to spell armadillos. Well, we'll try this one. How's that?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I don't know that. Well, that'd be great.
That's
any
cool.
More?
No.
You got another one?
No, I was. Three Billy Goats Gruff reminded me of Trolls, and that Norwegian movie, The Troll Hunter, is so funny.
Ooh, I don't know that one either.
Well,
it's
this Norwegian guy that works for the government to hunt trolls, but the government doesn't want anyone to know there are trolls in Norway.
That should be a problem.
It's really just funny.
The Troll Hunter.
It
belongs
by electrical grid, right? Electricity wires. That's the GL of the trolls.
Oh.
I've also seen that.
Yeah. And this couple that...
All right, well, we'll have to find that, the Troll Hunter. Yes. I have a Christmas story I tell about trolls.
There are billy goats in it, too, someplace. It's just funny.
Oh,
I've heard versions of
okay.
Three billy goats.
So maybe it is another billy goat's gruff.
No.
No? But you notice it's that are all three. There's a whole bunch of folk and fairy tales that have three. Now, I don't know if they're religious, but they have folk and fairy tales with three.
It's a rhythm.
It's a rhythm, that's
yeah.
Right. It's a
pattern. Used to be seven was the popular rhythm in old,
yeah.
Old fairy tales. But
yeah.
They got so, they were so long.
Yeah, Snow White was seven.
People were like, okay, three's enough.
Yeah, right. Too hard to do all that. Well, let's see. Well, yeah, I got down here Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Now,
well,
listen.
Here at Holden and the Three Bears. We've got more than three bears around.
Oh, that's true. We didn't do the three bears, did we? Yeah. So, you know, there's just a lot of those kind of stories. Now, I also had written down here a Japanese folk tale, not a really fairy tale, The Little Old Woman who couldn't stop laughing. Now, this little old woman just laughed and laughed all the time. She liked to make rice dumplings. And she lived in a house that had a dirt floor, and she was making the rice dumpling, and it rolled off the table, rolled down a hole that she didn't even know was in her floor. And when she went and said, stop, stop, and she went to get it, why, the hole got bigger and bigger. And she ended up falling down the hole, and she got down there, and there was a river, and there were gizos down there, gizos, which were the gods, the stone gods that were set along the river. And she asked each one where this dumpling was,
And they each said, well, it's just down the road a little ways, but don't go any further. Because there's the terrible Oni that has claws and sharp teeth down at the end. But this little old lady just can't not laugh. And so she gets to this last Gizo, and he hides her because there's the Oni coming. And the Oni gets there, and he says, good morning, and he says, I smell humankind. And Jizo says, oh no, it's just the river today, that's all it is. And but this little old lady just can't not laugh. And so she starts giggling. And oh dear, the Oni takes her out. And the Jizo says, oh, please don't kill her, please don't kill her. He says, I don't want to kill her. I want to have her go home with me and cook for all of us Onis down at the end of the river because we don't have any to cook for us. And we're hungry. So she gets down there, and he gives her a magic paddle. And when she puts one grain of rice in there and stirs that one grain with the magic paddle, it turns into two. And she stirs, and the two turn into four. And then the four turns into?
Five.
Two, four. Two plus two is four. Four plus four is?
Eight.
Eight turns into? 16 turns into. It's getting harder, isn't it? It ends up with 256. And then she makes all this for the Oni. But she gets homesick, and so she ends up wanting to leave, and she does. But there's some more things that happen, like they swallow the water so she can't use the boat that they took and all that. But she finally gets home, and she gets rich and makes her dumplings, and it's still giggling all the time. So that's another story. Let's see, from Japan.
Jack and the Beanstalk.
Oh yeah, I forgot that one. They're all over the place. So, that's a lot of, there's also Cream Girl from Japan, which is a very good magic one. And so all of these are nice and magical. So what can you do with them? You can just tell them for the pure fun of it. Or it might be that you want to tell them in church or Sunday school before you tell another story. Or it might be you're just having a plain old party for fun and you tell them. Or it might be a special time. For instance, we're going to leave them for just a minute. At Christmas time, there are a lot of stories, folk tales that you can tell that enrich the Christmas story. It doesn't say much about the birth of Jesus, but they all go because of it. One of them is The Legend of the Poinsettia. It's a Mexican story. Poinsettia occurred because a little boy didn't have enough money to buy a present to take to church on Christmas Eve. And a little girl, actually, in most of the stories. There's some of them, there's a little boy. And she just doesn't even want to go, but she's convinced that she should go. It's a much longer story than this. And so she goes, and she picks some weeds from the road right on the way to the church. Her cousin talks her into that. And she feels terrible. So she brings him into the church, and the children are all kneeling down with the presents. And they were going to bring a new blanket that her mother was weaving, but she got sick and all that stuff. But anyway, she puts him down, closes her eye, and she's so embarrassed about the present. And then she hears people going, oh, look. And she opens her eyes, and these weeds have turned into gorgeous red flowers, which they called the flower of the Nativity. But the man, Mr. Poinsett, happened to be an ambassador to Mexico, and he brought these plants home. And so that's how we call them poinsettias. But we still use them around Christmas time. So wouldn't this be a nice sort of entrance or addition to some of our Christmas stories at Christmas time or other times? How about December 6th? We don't do a whole lot with St. Nicholas Day, unless you have a special heritage.
We do.
Ah, terrific. That's right. Mm-hmm. And so we've got lots of stories about St. Nicholas. One of them is the Baker's Dozen. Do you happen to know that one?
No.
Oh, well, this one is a story that says that this baker was really, really, he was a Dutch person who had moved to New York or New Amsterdam, and he was the best baker in the whole area. And so he had just lots and lots of people coming to all the time to his bakery. But it was especially on St. Nicholas Day, he made these big St. Nicholas cookies, and everybody came to buy his big St. Nicholas cookies. Well, one day, he was really, really tired. I'm shortening all these stories, by the way. He was really, really tired, and he couldn't wait to get home, and it was almost time to close, and so he was ready to close the door, and in walks this little old lady, and she says, when she gets up to the counter finally, she says, "I'd like to have a dozen St. Nicholas cookies." And he says, "Oh, yes, ma'am, I'll get those for you." And so he goes and he counts them out, 1, 2, 3, 10, 11, 12, and hands her the St. Nicholas cookies. And she said, "No! I said I wanted a dozen." He says, "Ma'am, I've given you a dozen." "No, no, you didn't give me a dozen. You're a good man, but you're kind of stingy. A dozen is one more. A dozen is 13. And she disappears. Well, the next year, his life was terrible. Every time he went to bake bread, it either was so heavy that it sank down to the bottom or it flew out the chimney. And everything he tried to make was messed up, and all of his customers kind of started disappearing. Well, when Christmas came, or rather St. Nicholas Day, he was just about ready to give up. But he thought, nobody will forget my St. Nicholas Day cookies. And so he made the St. Nicholas Day and thought, they'll come back for this. But they didn't. They just knew that he was going to mess those up too. And so he just sat there all day. Just before he was going to close, the door jingled. And in walked that same old lady. And she said, "You know what you said, right?"
"Yeah."
"I want a dozen St. Nicholas cookies." "Oh, yes, ma'am," he said. And he went and got those cookies, and he got her 1, 2, 3, 10, 11, 12, and one more makes 13. "Oh, thank you," she said, and started out the door. As she went out the door, he was sure he saw St. Nicholas's red cloak under that lady's dress. Well, after that, every time somebody came in, he gave them 13 cookies. And he got all of his business back. All of his things he made got good again. It was just a great time. And so many people thought, he's giving 13, and he's taking all our business away. They started giving 13, too. And it became known as the Baker's Dozen. And until recently, when we would go to the local bakery, we'd get 13. But you know, in the summertime, I do all my vegetable shopping, or just about all, at our village market in Worthington. And we've got farmers on all over the place. And you know, if you buy corn on the cob, every one of those farmers say, "Take 13. So it's not totally disappeared. Well, now, wouldn't that be something kind of nice as we're giving gifts and talking about the love of Christ, to talk about, maybe add a little story? There's also Grandfather Spider and why the Christmas trees aren't perfect. Yeah, you don't have time for all that, but we'll do some maybe tomorrow or Friday, some more. For Epiphany, there's Bafana or Babushka, depending which country, whether you're from Italy or Russia. And this was a lady who, well, she just cleaned and cleaned and cleaned and cleaned all the time. And one day she was cleaning and cleaning away, and she heard bells coming, and she saw camels. And it turns out there's three kings and all the people that they travel with coming. And they want her to feed them and give them a place to sleep. this is late in the afternoon, but they said they could only sleep for a couple hours because then they had to go because they were following a star in the sky. And so she gave them some food, and when they got ready to leave, they were telling her about this baby that had been born, and they were following the star because they were told where the star led them would be where they find the special Christ child. And she got all excited because she was a widow lady and her only child had died as a young child. And she says, oh, I've got some toys I've been keeping and some clothes under the bed. Would you take them with you? And they said, well, why don't you come with us? We don't have to take them with us. Why don't you come with us? Oh, she says, I'd love to do that. I can give it to them as soon as I get the house clean. Because after all, they've been sleeping there and they had those dirty dishes from the soup she fed them and all that. And they said, well, we can't wait. We just can't wait because the star is only up in the sky at nighttime. And so she said, well, I've got to get the house clean. I'm sorry, I can't go. They said, well, all right, you catch up with us. Well, she got the house clean, got everything packed, was ready to go. And the sun was coming. But she started out anyway. She wandered and wandered and wandered, and she could never find them. But just because she doesn't know where they were going, she, in Italy, or in some other countries, goes to every house that has a child and leaves presents or toys or other gifts, because you never know which one is the Christ child. And of course, that's another story you could use for Epiphany, or you could use it for just the whole idea that we never know whether the person we meet is the Christ child. So we must be kind to all people, not just the one person that we know is the Christ child, because we're just not sure.
I thought you were going to tell us a moral that we shouldn't bother to clean the house.
I've thought of that, yeah. My husband's always saying, look, we got to get someplace. We got to go to the plane. Why don't we? We don't have to do this. I said, I want to come home to a dirty house. Right? Tell it is. I'm right. Well, another thing that I have done, and we'll just have I'll just do a couple more things here, and then we got to go. And that is, we had a friend who's a pastor in Lancaster, Ohio, and she had a 15-minute radio program to share. She was in a community that was not very Lutheran or not very Christian, I mean, in the sense that she wanted to get people more aware of what her church was in that. It's a little tiny church, which is growing. And so on this radio program, she had a lot of different things. But usually, about once every 3 months, I'd go and we'd tape 3 different programs or something like that. And we never, never did a Bible story. That was our first agreement. We weren't going to do Bible stories. Some of the ones I remembered, we did the 3 wishes. We did do Bifana. We did some Lazy Jack stories. And what I would do is I would tell the story, and then we would see where Christ or Christianity could be in that story. Because these people didn't want to be preached to. But if you could pull some of that out. And so again, you can take some of these stories and share them with whomever you wish to, and then pull out the parts that you want pulled out. Now, some of you may have read this one. I'm sure you have, the Hanukkah guest. And this is a pure Jewish story about Hanukkah and about a bear. So those of us who are in Holden might find this interesting because she is making all the latkes to give to the rabbi when he comes by on Hanukkah, and all the neighbors are coming, but she can't see or hear too well. So when the bear opens up or wakes up and comes out and sniffs her latkes, he comes to her house and bumps on the house. She lets him in, thinks it's the rabbi wearing his heavy winter coat, etc. I do not use this book usually as a book, but you could read it too. It doesn't have to be. I don't like to read. I do read. That's how I learned the story. And another one is Elijah's Angel. And in this story, there is a little boy and an old man. The old man is dead now, and his name is Elijah, and he's a wood carver. And if you go to the Columbus Art Museum, there's fantastic things that he has carved, and he's known all over the world now. Elijah was a barber, and his barber chair is just like down here. Mm-hmm. It's enshrined in Columbus. Mm-hmm. And so Elijah carved things, and he was Christian, and he only carved Christian things because he believed he should not carve anything else. He was definitely a rustic. Elijah did this, and then this little boy, who's Mike Rosine, who wrote this book, and actually I was in one of his classes one time, and he was Jewish, and so they ended up where Elijah carved an angel, and the Jewish boy just didn't know what to do because, you know, angels, well, they were part of their life, but it was carved by a Christian, and he wasn't sure that it was legal for him to take it. So the mother and father said, it's okay, you can take it. And they make a little menorah, which they give to Elijah. And they're not sure whether he's going to be angry either, but they walk down on Hanukkah Eve, and there's the menorah in Elijah's window. And there's the angel from Elijah in the home of this little boy. And it's actually a true story. But again, I think that would be a wonderful story to use, whether it be in church or at home or any place, just to show how we can come together in our faith. And that doesn't mean that Elijah never became a Jew, and Mike Rosen, to my knowledge, has never become a Christian. But their love is there. There's a lot of Halloween stories, but we're not going to do those right now. I'm going to give you a handout, which, if you come back, we'll kind of use it as a review, but it's just types of stories. No, you have no hands, so I'll hand it out. And any of you who weren't here before, the handouts that I've used before are there, and I got kind of involved and didn't get to the review. But we, on the first day, you get two pages, don't you? No, I did front to back. On the first day, we did basically Bible stories, and we talked about where and when and how we used them and all that sort of thing. And on the second day, yesterday, we did folk and family stories, and we talked again about where and when and how. And I will have this here, and if you want to take a look at what some of the things you missed, or if you want the papers, we hand it out to you.